Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. I am your host, John Paul Hurley. You can find me on Twitter at FFHercules. Joining me today is my fabulous co-host, Izzy Elkafoss. Find him on Twitter at DTC underscore IzzyE. What is up, Izzy?
What's going on? Another week under the books.
That's the thing about the NFL season. Every year, you wait so long for it to come, and then before you know, you blink your eye, and it's like a quarter of the way through already.
She gone.
By the way, I think a quarter of the way through is going to be next week. We should do like a quarter of the season bold prediction revisit or something, see how we're doing.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
How are you feeling about yours so far this year, your bold predictions that you made?
Some good, some not good.
So kind of like life.
Yeah. I mean, the Cousins Thielen one, not ideal.
Yeah, not Thielen that one.
No, but there's a couple. I have a couple good ones, so I'm excited. Excited to revisit.
Cousins has been working his way backwards with fantasy points in some league formats.
Yeah, sure. I don't get it. I thought Stefanski gone, they would just, things would open up a little bit, and they have not.
Yeah, you thought wrong. But yeah, you're right. Justin Jefferson was the Thielen yesterday, or a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's the guy to own. Actually, we've got a full slate of things to talk about. I'm going to cover them really quick. We're going to talk about James Robinson as value spike. Daryl Henderson, is he the guy to own? ? DeAndre Swift, you said he's swiftly riding the bench, right?
Swiftly out of the lineup.
Swiftly out of the lineup. And then we're going to finish things off with COVID issues arising in Tennessee, Minnesota, Houston, Pittsburgh. What to expect from those situations and how to navigate the choppy waters of Dynasty for those players specifically. Then we'll finish things off with the Jonathan Taylor versus Clyde Edwards-Helaire Twitter poll extravaganza weekly. It's the second weekly Twitter poll extravaganza for those two guys. It's kind of fun actually to watch the changes each week. So, but before we get into the nuggets here, you mentioned Justin Jefferson. That was pretty impressive, right? Would you say that he should be maybe the receiver to own out of this rookie draft class as far as 2020 is concerned, at least?
No, not yet. I think you still got to give the nod to CeeDee Lamb right now. I think he's playing the best all around, and he's been consistent.
Yeah.
So I would say CeeDee Lamb one. I would still take Judy over Jefferson right now.
But Jefferson over Ruggs and pretty much anybody else, right?
I think based on this performance, he got the appropriate snap count. He got the appropriate target share. Yes, this is what we wanted. One of these rookie receivers to break out, and the first one to break out really has their value rise, and it's not by accident that he did what he did. So yeah. I think he's firmly at three. You can make an argument for him being two.
Yeah, a banged up Ruggs and a Rhaegar needing some R&R. You see what it did there?
Nice. And then yeah, Pittman got hurt, and Mims has been hurt, and T. Higgins had a good game, but I don't think he's elevated enough. Who else are we missing? Yeah, I think that's it. I think those are the core guys.
Yeah, so very impressive. Brian Edwards had some offseason hype, but hasn't really come to fruition yet.
Yeah, now he's hurt. Yep.
Yeah. So that's kind of like, that was a fun, really quick rookie wide receiver revisit, I guess. So let's jump into the main topics. The first one, like I said, is the James Robinson value spike. So we actually took a lot of flack. So our Dynasty Trade Calculator updates values weekly on Tuesdays, and then throughout the week before the week begins. There can be like small daily ones to react to things that are unforeseen. Like actually like this COVID thing could be another thing that could, you know, change things if somebody were to hold out for a season. That kind of stuff isn't eligible for any sort of algorithm. So, But throughout the course of the weekend, people were wondering why James Robinson was valued so low. And by the way, quote unquote, so low, it was like a late first, early second for 2021. So that's not like not low, but his value has definitely spiked because he's been more consistent at offense. But Izzy, what do you feel about James Robinson? Is he somebody you want to put on your roster now? Is it too late?
No, I mean, this is a huge get for dynasty owners. And I know a lot of people want to hold James. And I get it. I get the angle of holding him because we've had the Arian Fosters. We've had the Philip Lindsays.
Wasn't Priest Holmes one?
Priest Holmes. But I get that angle. But at the same time, there's a lot that can. So I think we're seeing this now with the COVID stuff. This season is going to be the most random season of them all for your team. So you could go from contender to having week 14, first week of the playoffs or second week of the playoffs. And then all of a sudden you got a team dealing with COVID problems and then your depth is tested. So I think this season more than any, I'm a big believer in it takes skill to get into the playoffs and luck to win the title. And I think
like
luck
Andrew
is,
luck?
Yeah, right. And I think luck is going to play such an important role in not only the regular season, but the postseason.
He's
so
retired.
Are you done?
All right, whatever. Your thing,
so,
man.
I am firmly in the camp of I'm playing it for 2021 in a lot more leagues than I normally would. And the reason for that is what I do know is I can set myself up for 2021. What I am not comfortable with is setting myself up for 2020 because there's too many variables that are completely unforeseen that can get in the way of a contender. So I'm really only focusing on the teams that I know for a fact can withstand a COVID issue and I have the depth to support my starting role, starting lineup. Those are the teams that I will continue to contend with because I can handle a situation like this. Let's say Pittsburgh, Houston, Minnesota, Tennessee gets postponed. And let's say this isn't a week 3 issue or week 4 issue, it's a week 15 issue. And I have the depth to support those four teams going on a bye, then yes, I will continue to contend on those teams. But any team that I feel is top heavy that isn't supported by depth, I'm going to focus on 2021. And I think a lot of teams should do that. And that kind of circles me back to James Robinson. James Robinson's a great win now piece because I don't see his role changing in the immediate future. And I don't know if Ozigbo and Armstead can come in and take his job. What does concern me is how much of the workload are they going to take from Robinson? But let's say, just to play devil's advocate on the selling side of things, James Robinson is the guy for the full season. My issue is I don't think that coaching staff lasts into next season. And there's that possibility that a new coaching staff comes in and then they replace James Robinson or they bring somebody else in. Draft pedigree, as you've seen, Philip Lindsay is a really good example. You know, Philip Lindsay did a really good job and he still got replaced. And albeit sure he didn't get replaced in his first season, but he still got replaced. And James Robinson's a better all-around player than Philip Lindsay, so I'll give him that. But he's not special. He's just really solid. He's a good football player, but he's not special. And players like that, if I can get a mid first round pick for him, I'm doing that 9 out of 10 times. And I don't think the comparison between J-Rob and Arian Foster is fair because Arian Foster, from a vision perspective and just the way you could see it from day one, he was special. With J-Rob, I don't see that same special effect that you get from Arian Foster. So if you're not a super contender, I would be moving J-Rob for a first right now. And honestly, I wouldn't even think twice. I would be happy about it. And if J-Rob's a starter next year, here's the best part about this, Hurley. If J-Rob's a starter next year, the 2021 first that you got is still worth the same amount as J-Rob, so you can trade for him back. The only upside to holding onto the first round pick is that you draft the player in the first round and he ends up busting. But you can take that first round and you can trade him for a said player that you like more. So
yeah, you'll
like,
have a chance.
Right. You'll have a chance to get J-Rob back if you want. But you're not going to be left holding the bag if you aren't contending this year and J-Rob happens to get hurt, lose his job, coaching staff changes. There's so many variables that can affect J-Rod between now and the start of next season. So I would like to secure the first round pick, give myself some, you know, safe equity, especially if I know I'm not a super contender.
Yeah, I like that. We have a high stakes dynasty league that we partake in through Scout Fantasy, and I believe it's called Full-Time Fantasy now. Fun format. Like I said, it's high stakes, and we have quite a bit of high-end depth, and we're like, I would consider us super contenders, and we just happen to pick James Robinson off of the waivers. So I think in that instance, we'll probably hang on to him instead of seeking a trade, but anything's possible. We also have like Christian McCaffrey, who's banged up and stuff like that too. So,
yeah. I mean, what is our lineup? So just to, we're probably going to hang on to James Robinson because we need, well, first of all, it's a pretty shallow league to begin with.
Yeah, 20-man rosters.
20-man rosters. So I think it's more beneficial for us to hold JR because I think we have Kamara, we have McCaffrey, Fournette.
So Kamara, McCaffrey, Fournette, and then James Robinson and Kerryon Johnson. Obviously thwarted.
So JR is currently our third running back. And if I feel like in our depth is strong enough with four running backs that we can withstand a COVID case. Even if there's two COVID cases and, you know, we'd have two running backs to plug in on a week to week basis. Obviously Lenny is a little erratic, but in a situation like that, I don't mind hanging on to JR. And as we get closer and closer to the end of the season, if we start losing games, or if we, let's say McCaffrey goes on the shelf IR and Kamara goes on IR, then we would ship JR for a first and solidify some of that safe equity.
Yeah.
But it's a very fluid situation, but you know, you should know by right now if your team is a super contender or a sneak into the playoff and try to win type of team. And those teams, you should be moving JR for a first.
Yeah, I agree. I like that. And you mentioned, I just have one follow-up question with James Robinson. You mentioned that you don't believe he's exactly a special player just from what you've watched. And they did release Leonard Fournette. And a lot of people thought it was because they had confidence in James Robinson coming out. But I don't think it has as much to do with that because at the time, they had Ozigbo and they had a couple other options at running back before James Robinson on the depth chart. But do you feel like he is doing anything different than what Leonard Fournette did last year?
No. I mean, no. I don't think so. I don't see anything vast. I don't view him as an upgrade to Leonard Fournette. I think that's insane. But I think Leonard Fournette's still a better running back. And I will say, Leonard Fournette is not the same freight train that he was with the high-end speed. It looks like he's gotten slower. I don't know if you've noticed that, but he doesn't have the same burst that he once had. And I think that makes him a little bit less dynamic than he was coming out of college.
Yeah.
But if you can get a guy that's near, let's call it 80% of Leonard Fournette, if I can get 80% of Leonard Fournette and save the money on the Fournette side of things, and just roll out an undrafted guy with a couple other, you know, late round picks, I would do that.
Yeah, that's true.
And especially if he's a roster headache. So just cut bait, get some savings, and focus on 2021.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I just think there's way too much between now and 2021 with that organization, especially with the draft capital issues and all of that, that it's way too flimsy of a situation to really put my eggs in that JR basket.
Yeah.
So buy him back if you like him. Buy him back.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I was just kind of, it's an interesting situation because the team has obviously shown they don't care too much about draft capital. So that could work in reverse. So they were willing to completely cut ties with Leonard Fournette after drafting him. What was he, top six, seven? What was he, seventh?
Fifth. I think he was fifth overall.
Fifth overall. Yeah, so they're willing to cut ties with somebody who they drafted fifth overall. And then we got an undrafted free agent, James Robinson. I wonder if the reverse is true. Like they just want performance and value. So it's possible he could be more of a long-term solution if he keeps producing like this. But I think right now he's just taking advantage of the volume that he's getting in that offense, so which is really good for him. So,
fourth overall. He was not fifth. He was fourth overall.
That sucks. That hurts. That sets the franchise back a bit. I wonder what quarterbacks they passed on.
That's a good question. Let's let me quick take a look.
Was that the Mahomes year? I think it was.
Yep. Trubisky went to, Mahomes went 10. Watson went 12.
So they passed on Mahomes and, oh,
and Watson.
That hurts. That really hurts.
It's not ideal.
I mean, a lot of people passed on Mahomes and Watson, but it's just... Yeah,
nine other teams.
Another one of those situations, you know. I always wonder, like, if Mahomes had gone to a different team, like, would he have the same ability? Like, is he... Obviously, he's excellent, yeah. But, like, yeah, is he excellent? Did he kind of, like, break out faster because of the system he was in? Like, maybe he would have taken longer to get there? I don't know.
He's pretty transcendent. I'd have a hard time. I mean, you look at the teams that it's just kind of funny. You look at San Fran at the time didn't really have a solidified quarterback. The Jags didn't. The Titans had Mariota. They took Corey Davis. Should have done that. The Jets. The Chargers had Phillip Rivers, so I get that one. The Panthers had Cam, so I get that one. The Bengals had... Who did the Bengals have in 2017? Dalton. So I kind of get that one. But you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams that passed on him that needed a quarterback.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah.
That really hurts. That Jalen hurts.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good. So that was a very well-rounded James Robinson discussion. Now we're going to talk about the second one here. Darrell Henderson, talking about him because he's kind of showing that he might be the guy to own in that offense. And the reason this is such a compelling topic is because there are other running backs in that system that may even be valued higher than them in Dynasty, specifically Cam Akers. What are you doing with the Darrell Henderson situation, Izzy?
Yeah, man. This is so... Week one, Cam Akers was the guy to own. Week two, Malcolm Brown was the guy to own. And week three, Darrell Henderson's the guy to own.
I feel like Darrell's done well week two and three.
No, but I'm saying going into week two.
I gotcha.
So going into week one, it was Cam Akers. Going into week two, it was Brown. Going into week three, it was Henderson. And now going into week four, it'll probably be Henderson again. But it's changed. The train has stopped at multiple stations now. And it's hard because we haven't seen a consistent Darrell Henderson. We've gotten glimpses of him. And this has been by far his best game of his career. And what we did see out of week one, Malcolm Brown, well, that was the best game that we've seen out of him. Like, he was significantly better than Cam Akers in that game. And then week two rolled around and Darrell Henderson outplayed him. And who's to say that week four, the same situation, well, let's say Cam Akers comes back from the rib injury, how much does he eat into the workload? And it is clearly a situation where we might be monitoring this week to week. And this was my concern with the Cam Akers and DeAndre Swift situations is, we weren't going to get a Cam Akers, DeAndre Swift, bell cow rolls out of the gates, and now we're dealing with this crap. So I look at this and say, okay, do we just roll Darrell Henderson, try to have him be our guy that's going to help us contend? And I look at this in the same light as the JR situation, but much more flimsy because he's got two other backs that can really eat into his workload. If you get an owner that'll give you a first-round pick for Darrell Henderson, even if you're a contender, I think the smart money is on that because there's going to be, with all three healthy players, there's way too much week-to-week variability that it's not worth hanging on to one of those players, even if you're a super contender.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, Izzy, is that strategy where you're flipping a hot player that may not have the sustainability for a pick. That has got to be one of the single most hard things to do as an owner in Dynasty is giving up on that because your mental state is kind of in the place where you think they could keep producing that way. So it's, you got to kind of reverse the gears and really try to think about the future and look at the big picture and make the right move for your team, which would be moving away from him while he is hot. Selling high is so hard.
No, it definitely is. I totally get that. Let's do it the other way. Okay, well, I want to contend, but I don't want to give up Henderson because he could help me. Well, then take Henderson and another piece and try to upgrade the running back position for more long-term stability. You know, not even short-term stability. Hell, like, I'm talking week-to-week stability. I'm not even talking next year. I'm talking just short-term. So, I mean,
what's an example? Do you have anything in mind?
Like Darrell Henderson and a receiver. Take a Darrell Henderson and McLaurin. And try to upgrade that for one of the top 12 running backs. You know, get somebody on the edge there, like an Aaron Jones even, and do something like that, where you're getting two, maybe the Aaron Jones owners isn't a contender. Maybe they're middle of the pack and they're thinking about the rebuild. Henderson for McLaurin for an Aaron Jones makes a lot of sense for both teams.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm looking at the top 12 running backs on DynastyTradeCalculator.com, dynamic rankings. So yeah, Aaron Jones is 11, Derrick Henry is 12. You'd probably consider doing that for them.
For Henry?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd consider that for Henry if I'm a contender and I want to become a super contender, yes. As long as I got, you know, the depth in other places.
And then just really quickly, I want to keep going until you find your spot where you'd stop. So like I said, Aaron Jones 11, Derrick Henry 12, Joe Mixon 13. Would you do? Would you take Henderson and a piece to get Mixon?
I would take not McLaurin, but I would take Henderson and a piece for Mixon for sure.
And then Austin Eckler is the next one.
Yes, I would take Henderson and a piece for Eckler.
And then the next ones you got are J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift. Not exactly week to week stability, but maybe some long term answers.
And that's where it comes down to, if I'm a Henderson owner, I don't want to shift into another sticky situation. I want something more stable long term. Like, who knows? I mean, DeAndre Swift, let's say AP retires. Is DeAndre Swift going to be the guy next year? We don't know. Could be Kerryon and DeAndre splitting care. Right now, DeAndre Swift isn't even playing over Kerryon. So what is the stability with him long term? There isn't any. We don't know. So I don't know. If I'm trading Henderson right now, I want something more stable. I will pay the extra on top to get somebody better.
What an excellent time to buy for Swift, wouldn't you say?
It is, but it depends on the owner that owns Swift, because a lot of people that have Swift, they spent a sixth overall, fifth overall, fourth overall pick on DeAndre Swift, and we're 3 weeks into the season. They likely overvalue that player. So when you say buy low on Swift, it really all depends on how impatient that owner is.
Yeah, and actually, I like Dobbins too a lot. So I wonder if I think Dobbins' path to carrying the workload is a little bit more clear than Swift, because, like you said, Kerryon Johnson's actually relatively young himself, but Ingram just seems like his days are numbered. He still looks good somehow, you know, but his days just appear to be numbered.
And Swift, my issue was Patricia, and you know that. He's Bill Jr., man. He's doing the exact same shit Bill does. You know?
Do you think, I got to ask you an honest question. Do you think if the Lions keep being mediocre like they are, do you think Patricia keeps his job into 2021?
No, dude. No.
They got to move on from him, right?
I don't think he's. Do you think he's a talented coach?
No, I think he's a talented assistant coach, but he's not a talented head coach.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that. It's just, I don't know. I just look at him like, okay, DeAndre Swift was drafted in the second round, right?
Yeah.
Damian Harris was drafted in the third round. So it's not like he was drafted substantially lower than DeAndre Swift. And Bill Belichick just rode him on the pine the entire season. Like, DeAndre Swift had two targets, not even touches. He had two targets, no carries, one catch. And Adrian Peterson, who's in the Lions are not contending. So why are they rolling out Adrian Peterson and giving him 22 carries and however many catches he had or targets?
Yeah, I don't get that.
Like 4 days before the season? None of it makes sense. So either DeAndre Swift is really bad, that Adrian Peterson is significantly better than him.
Or Patricia's really bad.
Or Patricia's really bad, or they're just trying to conserve DeAndre Swift for when it matters, which is maybe next year. They don't want to beat him up. I don't know, but.
It's almost like this is the time to see what you got, though. You know, like they're doing it backwards. Like when people are not contending, that's when you look to see what you got in rookies, you know, in your youthful players to find out what you need to draft next year. You know, I don't get it. Whatever.
We don't get it. And there's so many situations like this that don't make sense. And like the Darrell Henderson thing last year, he didn't get any run last year. And it's the same situation. They drafted him in the first couple of days of the NFL draft, and they didn't run him.
Hmm.
And now they wait until week three to run him.
Week two, yeah. He was only like 10 or 12 carries, but he had
But I mean this week was the week where he got 20 carries. Yeah, I mean that's the magic number. Once you're getting that, and it was 20-7, so three times as many carries as Malcolm Brown.
Jeez.
So, like, that's, and it took him 19 games of his career to get there. But who knows what these guys are doing. But at least the Rams were trying to contend. But if you recall last year, the Rams ended up being out of contention at the end of the year, and they still didn't give Henderson, like, to your point, let's see what we got in Henderson, and they still didn't do that.
And as a result, they used an early draft pick on Cam Akers. Maybe they could have saved themselves that. And they could have saved us headaches because Cam Akers might have gone to a team that could have used him.
But here's the thing, dude. Like, they have him in practice. It's not like you're finding out if he's good or not in the game.
Yeah,
if
that's
he's
true.
If he's balling out in practice, you plug him in. So he's obviously not balling out in practice, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I wish I could be a fly on the wall in these meeting rooms and... Like I want to know what's actually going down. Like, how does Henderson have nothing for 18 games or next to nothing for 18 games, and then he gets the job week three? What led up to that? Like, I want to know.
I think I have the answer, and I think this would be my silver bullet reason of wanting to buy all of these running back low, Cam Akers, DeAndre Swift, even J.K. Dobbins. I understand J.K. has got a little bit different situation than these other guys, but I think what's happened was, these rookie running backs, their rookie camps were thwarted, preseason thwarted, training camps. Like, a lot of these things were pretty much like throttled because of COVID. And I think it's just taken them a little bit longer. The coaches probably don't feel comfortable enough putting them in the game because of pass protection schemes, things like that. They just don't have a full grasp of the playbook or like exactly where to be mentally. And it could be just they're kind of waiting for them to get caught up, and they're using these running backs that have already been in the system. Kerryon Johnson, the Adrian Peterson's probably the only one that doesn't make sense, but Adrian Peterson probably has, you know, enough knowledge in his career where he doesn't really need to spend a lot of time catching up on a playbook or where to be for protections and stuff like that. But I think that's might be what's going on.
So are you more comfortable buying Cam Akers and DeAndre Swift, because even though Henderson has broken out, because Cam Akers was the starter for them week one, so they absolutely rolled him out, and he underperformed. DeAndre Swift was the third guy in. He's been the third guy in every single week. And his, yep, and his workload has dropped.
I'm super comfortable buying them, but I definitely want a discount.
What's your discount?
I would probably say, so like if they were drafted kind of in the 10, let's see, DeAndre Swift probably 104 to 107 range for Cam, and I'm talking super flex league, so a couple of these quarterbacks go before. I probably want to bump them down 2 to 3 picks for value from where they were taken, about, you know, like that's the kind of discount I want.
So you'd still give up like a mid to late 2021 first?
I'd go late first for Cam, yep. And I'd go mid to late for Swift. I'd go a little bit higher for Swift.
Even though Cam was the starter week one, and yeah, Swift has been an afterthought.
Yeah, and now Cam has kind of fallen into that Swift territory too. So they're both in that same echelon.
Okay. And is that because you like Swift more, or is it because Henderson's emergence in the offense?
I like Swift's talent a little bit more, and I think that, again, I'm banking on maybe a coaching change. I'm hoping for that, and if it doesn't, I kind of feel like there's Kerryon Johnson's going to be playing in the final year of his rookie contract next year, and then I think when the rubber meets the road, they're going to have to make a decision this offseason on what they're going to do with Kerryon. So I just think that the season's kind of like an audition for Swift to take the job next year, regardless of the coaching staff.
Yeah, and I feel like I agree with you. I'd rather pay more for Swift. I have Swift ahead of Cam. Simply because I don't see McVay losing his job. Like the variables in play, Adrian Peterson's dry aged. and then you got Patricia, who I don't think retains his job or shouldn't retain his job. So a new coaching staff can come in and really utilize Swift, where I think McVay and his philosophy of rotating backs, I think that continues for years to come.
Yeah, and looking at the really nitty-gritty details, Kerryon Johnson's contract. So next year is, like I said, last year of his contract, rookie deal. And he carries a $2.1 million dead cap. I'm sorry, cap hit with only $700,000 dead cap. So like, he's already kind of been paid a little bit, so there's not a lot of dead cap there. So yeah. I think they could probably part ways depending on his performance this year. But yeah, the Adrian Peterson thing is so weird to me.
Yeah.
And I think like, maybe at some point, if my theory is correct, where DeAndre Swift just needed some more time to get ramped up, maybe we'll start to see that slowly coming into play throughout the course of the season, or like maybe weeks.
But here's the thing, dude. Like, Kerryon Johnson's good in pass pro, and he's younger, fresher. He's an all-around back. AP is not a receiving back. AP is getting significantly more touches than Kerryon.
Kerryon versus AP makes zero sense to me. But the Swift thing, I can kind of make some sense yeah, with.
So odd, man.
I don't understand the Kerryon AP thing. Like, I don't know why they're doing that. I was surprised they even brought him on, let alone they're giving him a run. Like, actually, yeah. the reason they're giving him a run is because they brought him on. I feel they probably felt obligated to give him touches. And I bet like when they met with him and they're like, we want to bring you on. And Adrian Peterson probably said something along the lines of, I'm not coming on a team to sit on the bench and help young guys. I want to play. So I bet there's probably some front office motivation stuff happening there, but it sucks.
But why, like, why would they be like, all right, dude, kick rocks, man. We'll find somebody else. Like, that's the thing.
I don't know. Maybe he was limited. Yeah. The running back. I mean, it was probably a better choice than Devonta Freeman at the time.
Yeah.
Because Devonta Freeman's making demands.
He hasn't looked terrible, but he is molasses now. Good Lord.
Yeah. 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 He doesn't have that second level anymore. So it's all one dimensional. And that's what's weird, too, is like when he's in there, it's a pretty one dimensional play call, you know?
Could you have foreseen from a decade ago that the two running backs still going are Frank Gore and Adrian Peterson? And like they are going and they're old, like they're old and they're still going. And they've gotten a lot of touches.
Yeah, that's insane. I don't think it could have. I mean, 34, 35, that's insane. That's
Frank Gore's 37.
Oh my God.
I mean, and AP is 35, 13 seasons in. I mean, this is 2007.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's crazy. And you're right. Each of them have had pretty heavy workloads throughout their careers, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is this the new age? Like, are these, is the Adrian Peterson and like Curtis Martin, I thought was one of the few that have done it at such an old age?
Yeah, no, because I mean, there's still, these are the exceptions to the rule because most running backs, I'd have to look this up. I'm really curious. I mean, these guys were drafted 2006, 2007, right? I mean, Frank Gore might have been 2005.
That's scary, man.
But like, either way, let's say you look at when they were drafted versus, is there a running back still in the league that's getting touches that was drafted in 2010, just 10 years ago?
Outside of AP. They would have to be well into their 30s.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a brain tease, but
yeah, like a 32. I can't think. Can you think of a 31 or 32 year old running back starting?
No, definitely not starting.
Yeah.
But at least getting touches. I don't know. I don't know.
That's crazy.
Well, I'll fact check this at the end of the show and see. But I really don't think so. Latavius had to have been. Latavius isn't even that old, I don't think.
Oldest active running backs, and all it talks about is Adrian Peterson and Frank Gore. That's hilarious. The only things that are guaranteed in life, death, taxes, and Frank Gore, says the New York Times.
Mark Ingram, was he 2011? I think it was 2011. I think it was 2011, not 2010.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the oldest active running backs. Kenjon Barner, Tampa Bay, 31. How old is this?
Kenjon Barner.
Yeah, this is 2020. Nick Belor, Seattle, 31 years old. Brandon Bolden, 30. Rex Burkhead, 30. There you go. That's probably your answer.
No, but he wasn't 2010.
Carlos Hyde, I think he was 2010. LeSean McCoy, there you go. That's your answer.
McCoy, yeah. I guess he's still
hanging on.
McCoy
might have been 2010, exactly. So, yeah.
No, McCoy was 2008.
Oh, yeah. So even earlier. But yeah, that's your answer is McCoy.
2008. Yeah. McCoy would be the other one. But yeah, interesting.
Crazy. So the final piece of discussion that we have to cover is the COVID issues. And this is a big one, too. So you've got teams that are competing and you've got some pretty big names on some of these teams that are going to be probably, is it confirmed they're taking a bye week this week?
No, I think I just read that Pittsburgh, Tennessee might get flexed out to Monday.
Yeah, so Tennessee, Minnesota have completely shut down activities as of today. Today is Tuesday, September 29th. So who knows what this means? I'm sure they're going to have to go through a series of tests and shut down players that have tested positive. I think it's going to take, doesn't it take a couple days for you have to wait before you can take a test?
Well, here's the funny thing. Like, they're not going to shut down for a day, right? They have to shut down for a few days to make sure it doesn't spread. Wait. So these teams aren't going to get any practice in.
Yep.
And they're going to go play a game.
I bet I think they've, they haven't shut down. They've gone digital. And I'm sure that if I'm a player and I'm healthy and I feel good, I'm going to do my own personal workouts, you know, so I'm ready. But they've shut down team activities. Yeah.
Yeah, but you still got to do run-throughs and plays and all of that. But yeah.
Would it be funny if they did that with, like, they just brought their, like, iPhones and they're, like, lining up digitally, like, on their own fields and stuff just to run through plays and everything? Yeah. Or they're playing Madden.
What they should have done, and I feel like they should have flexed bye weeks. So like not flexed bye weeks, but had bye weeks penciled in. And then when these things happen, they just use it as a bye week. They take the opportunity to say, okay, you guys got COVID.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys got the bye week. So week four is now these four teams, this is your bye week, and then you'll play at another date.
Yeah, that would have been pretty smart to be proactive.
But
and then you'd have less acne as well.
Nice.
Well, but I do think that like it's going to be interesting to watch how these are treated in the coming days, because if these teams are going to shut down for a week, suddenly you've got an earlier bye week, you're competing for a championship, or you're competing for wins during the regular season, and you're going to have to go without people like Derrick Henry, Corey Davis. You were going without A.J. Brown to begin with, but Dalvin Cook, like these guys that you were relying on for week-to-week stats, and all of a sudden you got to try to find, you know, more space on your roster to bring in somebody to the lineup. I was starting Braxton Berrios in my SFB league because I had so many injuries, and this is going to add another layer to it.
My entire team is decimated in that league. Yeah. But here's my question. It gets rescheduled. Rescheduled to what?
Yeah, I want, because like they don't have the same bye weeks, you know, so they can't reschedule it to a bye week because they have different competitors, you know.
So like, yeah, I just don't understand. Are they doing it like a midweek game?
I think they're gonna have to do like a not necessarily like a doubleheader like baseball, but they might have to do.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Oh my god, can you imagine how bad that game would be?
They might have to do two in 1 week though. Like, what's the alternative? You know,
extend the season, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the NBA has. NBA is playing their finals during the time when the regular season starts up.
I'm guessing they've already announced, and we've missed it. And I'm sure people are listening to be like, oh, they
idiots.
But yeah, I didn't see any of that.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll have to figure that out.
I bet they're kind of just waiting and seeing right now. But yeah, you might be right. We're probably just talking out of our asses and people are yelling at us through the radios.
Yeah, the only thing has to be end of season. They can't do a midweek. They can't do two games in a week.
They do it during the Pro Bowl week. So like they already know like who's in the Super Bowl, but they're going to make up the regular season game and it's not going to mean anything.
Wouldn't that be something?
Stupid, dumbest thing ever. They could. I mean, they do have the space to, I mean, honestly, like how important is the Pro Bowl? Cancel the Pro Bowl. You get named to it, but you don't actually play in it. And then you can shift the whole season back a week to cover for stuff like this anyway.
Yeah.
You just have no break between the championship games and the Super Bowl. There you go. That's my solution.
Interesting.
I always hated that you waited 2 weeks between the end of the playoffs and the Super Bowl anyway. So
it looks like they don't have anything, because I'm looking at a CBS article. And it's a, you know, the question in that it says, is there a way the league could reschedule this game if it comes down to it? Question mark. So there isn't a plan.
Again, I think they should play it out on Madden. Like each of the players can do like start a superstar, like a career at a position, and then they would play the position that they normally play, and then they just each control it on a game of Madden live, you know? I think I'm onto something here. I would gamble on that.
So this is I'm reading a tweet. If Steelers Titans has to be postponed, that's a relatively easy fix. Titans have a week 7 bye, but the Steelers bye isn't until week 8. However, the Steelers play the Ravens in week 7, and Baltimore also has a week 8 bye, so move the Steelers Titans to week 7 and Steelers Ravens to week 8.
Okay, yeah, they just have to shift stuff around, yep.
Yeah, and then so it looks like they have to keep moving teams or moving games around for other teams. Okay, that makes sense too, but it's going to be a pain in the ass.
I agree. Not going to be easy.
Yeah.
I like my Madden idea. And then, like, if you get injured in Madden, in the game of Madden, you can't play for the rest of the season then.
If you tear your ACL, you just sit him out. Yeah.
Yep.
That's fair. What do you think of Calvin Ridley?
I've always liked Calvin Ridley. You're it sounds like by the tone of your voice, you're kind of coming around.
I was skeptical. Well, I mean, the Julio injury changes things. I was skeptical that Calvin Ridley could be the wide receiver one with Julio there. And I want to see Julio and Calvin for an extended period of time healthy. But the way that offense right now with, they're not really using the tight end position. They're rolling out three wide receivers and they're hucking the football.
Mm-hmm.
So even if Julio's the primary target getter when they're both healthy,
I
think Calvin will still produce similar to what, you know, Fitz and Bolden did and Harrison and Wayne. We've had duos that have eclipsed 1,200, 1,300 yards together.
Yeah, didn't Devontae and Jordy do it together, I think?
I think it was Jordy and Cobb. I don't know if Devontae, maybe Devontae and Jordy did it too.
Yeah, I don't remember. I know there was Packer receivers that had two like in the top 12 or 15, but yep, I agree. I think that offense is able to do that.
Hell, Roddy and Julio.
Oh, good old Roddy. Wow, there's a blast from the past.
That was an Iron Man, dude. He didn't miss a game.
No, he was an anomaly. Consistent.
He was awesome. But you got to hold on to him at this point, right? I mean, it makes no sense to move Ridley.
No, not at all. Like, he's on the rise.
Like, do you think he can ascend into the top five by the end of the season? Like, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. As long as Matt Ryan is healthy, absolutely, 100%.
Interesting.
Yeah, pretty easy. And like,
so I'm not saying top five point getter. I'm telling you, do you think he could be a top five drafted wide receiver next year?
Oh, okay.
Top five in the wide receivers for drafts.
More of an outside chance, but a possibility. Yeah, a possibility. And like, you kind of dogged on me for my reason for liking Ridley a little bit. And I was just like, I was so off of Julio this offseason because I was just concerned that his age is going to start catching up. And you're like, based on what? And I'm like, well, he's just.
No, you're talking about retirement, right?
Yeah, I was talking about just being banged up throughout the year and Julio just kind of like his career is twilighting. And you were kind of like getting on my case about that. And you asked me what I based it off of. And I was basing it off of just like past foot injuries and. I said, you know, a big receiver, physical receiver like Calvin Johnson, it kind of shows us. And you're like, well, that was more about his contract and other things too. But I, for some reason, I remember that conversation vividly. I must have been really upset about it and lost sleep over it.
Yeah.
But now if Calvin Ridley is showing us that he can produce with or without Julio. And
yeah,
I mean, this ceiling is the sky's the limit for him, you know.
Another Alabama product that's massive success.
Alabama. Gotta love it. Well, I'd like to transition into the final portion of the podcast. I don't know if you've got it pulled up or not, but every week we're tracking Jonathan Taylor and Clyde Edwards-Helaire to see what people prefer on their dynasty teams.
It's Helaire.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I can't say Helaire.
I think it's Helaire. I mean, I'm not French, but I think that's how
it's pronounced. Are we going to shift the way we say it? Because I like to say Patrick Mahomes sometimes.
Oh, I know a guy like that. Mahomes.
Mosier, our producer, likes to pronounce Mahomes differently than us. And the moment that I said that, he sat up from his chair. He's been sitting back this whole time. I watched him on video come closer to the monitor. And he's shaking his fist at me. Oh, now he's taking his shirt off. Oh, gross, dude. Don't do that.
He calls him Mahomes just to be different. Like, that's his reason.
Yeah, I know. He does it intentionally. Yeah. So, and I'm not doing Clyde Edwards-Helaire to be different. I just thought that's what it was, and that's what people called him in college. But now I guess we're doing Helaire. So.
Helaire, I don't know. Who cares?
Who cares? If we're gonna go Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I'm gonna go silent on all my H's from now on.
I like it.
All right. So anyway, we're tracking the preference of dynasty owners for these players. The first week, Jonathan Taylor finished. Was it like 30-70, something like that? Right.
Yeah. It was a blowout.
So Jonathan Taylor was blew out Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
It was week two. It was last week.
And then this week we reposted and we're going to check it every single week. And this week it's a little bit closer. It was 45-55 last time I checked. Do you have it pulled up?
It is 58-42.
Yep. 58-42 in favor of Jonathan Taylor after 800 votes on Twitter. So a pretty significant sample size here. I'm very interested. The gap keeps on closing. And I think people are kind of realizing that Jonathan Taylor's, he's got more to compete with for some reason. I don't agree that Nyheim Hines is exactly a massive threat to Jonathan Taylor if you believe in him, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't really have a lot of competition, and that being tied to that offense for such a long period of time is just so appealing, right?
Yeah, and I think why it's tightened up is Jonathan Taylor only got 13 touches, one catch for 3 yards. And then Hines had 4 for 40 in the air, and he had seven carries. Jonathan Taylor at 13. But I mean, here's the thing. KC's mixing in Darwin and Darryl as well. So it's not like Clyde is a pure bell cow with no other touches coming into that backfield. It's just, I don't know. I just like what Clyde is doing more than with JT. Like, Clyde seems more special than Jonathan Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
From the three games that I've seen, from what I've seen from Jonathan Taylor, I don't see special. I see a really solid running back. He reminds me of, he's a, to me, he's a worse Chubb.
I was going to say worse AP, but yeah, I can see that too.
He's a worse Chubb.
He's better at catching than AP, so I guess the Chubb comparison's better.
So
maybe he's Leonard Fournette.
No, I don't think I don't know. I think he just reminds me a lot more of Chubb, but I can see the Leonard thing. But yeah, I like Clyde a little bit more right now.
Yeah, and I like seeing what they're doing with him. Like the Andy Reid's, I should say the Chiefs offense, they're a little bit more creative with what they do with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And like they're splitting him out. Like I saw a really interesting pass from Mahomes. He was just a, kind of like a rainbow pass. He had a line. Clyde Edwards had a linebacker on him. And Mahomes just tossed it up and let Clyde go under it and catch up to it, catch it. It was just so cool. Could have been, if he kept his feet, it could have been an easy touchdown for him because it was wide open in the secondary beyond that. But I like seeing the different places that he's lining up, the different things that he's doing, because it's going to mean for, you know, a considerable amount, more amount of points for him. You know, I could see him being one of those running backs that's going to have a big, you know, like the ceiling of having 1,000 and 1,000. And I just think that Jonathan Taylor's ceiling is limited when it comes to that, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
But they're both excellent, so I don't think it's going to be a problem owning either one of them. But
I mean, I think in PPR, you go Clyde, in non-PPR you go Jonathan Taylor, and in half PPR you flip a coin and then call it a day.
There you go. And in a quarter PPR you flip two coins. I don't. What do you do?
Quarter PPR, I give it to Jonathan Taylor.
Okay. What about three-quarter PPR?
Clyde.
Okay, wow, now we have some specific answers. I like that. How about tight end premium?
Kelsey.
Oh, there you go. So that's pretty good. We're going to continue to track that situation throughout the season because I think I find it very compelling. Hopefully you do too. But
yeah, absolutely.
That's all we got. Again, make sure you check us out on Twitter. I can be found on Twitter at FFHercules, right? If I'm using silent H's.
Yes, Hercules.
At FFHercules. I like that. It's got a cool little ring to it. I might have to try keeping that.
You have to change your image to Steve Urkel.
Change my image to Steve Urkel.
In your bio.
At FF Urkel.
Hercules, yeah.
You can find Izzy at DTC underscore Izzy. The main handle is at FF Dynasty Trades. What do you got?
I got it. You Photoshop Steve Urkel's head on Hercules' body.
On my body.
Which is the same thing as Hercules.
Basically the same thing. I work out all the time. There you go. Our producer can be found at DTC underscore John Mosier. That's all we got for you guys this week. Check us out next week. Bye.